Okay. Again, tell us how to live our lives. It is God's word. It's found in God's word. What is the gospel and why is it so important? Ron. Good. What is the negative side of the gospel? Why do we need the gospel? We are sinners. We fall short. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of what? The glory of God. And so we can't reach God on our own, and so we need his good news, his way to get to heaven. And so we have these two verses, and the Apostle Paul builds this incredible background for us in Romans chapter 1. And he has set the foundation. He's called us to the ministry. He's told us how important we are as the body of Christ. And we're going to look at that. Pray with me. Father, thank you for these words. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who will believe, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. And God, I pray, I don't think any of this is going to be new information, but it's where we're working through Scripture. And I pray that you would nail down in our souls the value of the plan of God, the gospel of God, why it is so important. Lord, we live in a time in our world where people choose many different routes, and they say they all lead to God. But the Scripture, the Bible, from beginning to end, thousands of years ago to the present moment, the way of salvation, it says, you know, there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And John 14 tells us that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I pray somehow, Lord, these words surrounding this passage would give us confidence in the gospel, the good news of God for us. Holy Spirit, please guide me. Thank you that we can walk through these scriptures, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So again, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, which is in the gospel, is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so it's important that we as Christians walk by what? We walk by faith. We put our faith and trust in God, and we walk by faith. Now, this next, we're just going to skip right past that one, Mike, because I think that slide is going to take me too long, and we'll go to the next one. So this verse says that the gospel is the power of God for salvation. And you see that word power? I'm going to spend a lot of time talking about power today, the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. So the next line I wrote was the gospel equals. I'd like to change that. The gospel is God in flesh to redeem sinners to eternal life with him. That's what he wants to accomplish. God wants you to put your faith and trust in him, in Jesus on the cross, who was crucified in your place, was buried, and our sins were buried. We were buried with him, and he rose again unto eternal life, and he rose to never die again, and we put our faith and trust in him. And what he did on the cross, he paid a payment so that all of our sins would be what? Forgiven, washed away, cleansed, so that we could be righteous in his righteousness and go to heaven. You want to go to heaven? I want to go to heaven. And we're going to talk about that. So the mighty power of God. And this is what I would encourage you. We need to and want to understand the mighty and awesome power of God. I think I know some of it. But we need to and want to understand the mighty power of God. Some of you might remember this old song. It goes like this. You sing it if you know it. It says, I sing the mighty power of God. You remember that? That made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad, and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey. I sing the mighty power of God. And there are many old hymns that talk about the mighty power of God. And there are many new hymns that sing about the power of God. But we need to, and we want to understand the true power of God. So how does the mighty power of God change your life? How does the mighty power of God change your life and your life and your life and my life? If God's omnipotent power, which those are kind of the same word twice, if God's omnipotent power does not change your life, it may be because you have yet to be convinced that God is mighty and powerful, the supreme power. So I've been thinking all week long about how do you illustrate the power of God. So the illustrations I'm going to give are weak compared to his power. But you know, every year we cut firewood, right? You cut firewood? Some of you are still wishing you'd cut more firewood. And Dan Daly sold me his 1993 Toyota pickup truck a long time ago. And you know, my property kind of starts out kind of sloping, and then it just drops. And I've got these trees that fall down below, right? You got these trees that are down there. And you know, this four-wheel drive Toyota pickup truck, I take it down as low as I can get it, and I pile it with oak. And it has come out of that bottom part of our piece of property every time, loaded down. I have a confidence that the vehicle has the necessary power so that I can get that wood up the hill. I do. Someday I may overload it, and I'll be sorry. And then I'll be calling some of you guys to help pull me out. But if the vehicle has the necessary power, you can be confident to take the ride. Gospel power. And I'll tell you what, if you're looking, so here's what the Bible says. We're sinners and we need to be saved. And it says the gospel of Christ is the power of God. I still am trying to get a picture in my mind, the reality of what that means. The gospel, the plan of God, Jesus Christ on this planet, died on the cross, buried and rose again. That message is the power that will lift you out of the pit. That is the power. So regarding gospel power, don't trust in a way or a vehicle of salvation that doesn't have the power to get you out. And we have people, actually, we have a society, we have a world full of people who are trusting in other vehicles to save them. Powerless or weak vehicles that can't do the job. In about 1993, about the same time my truck was born, long before I had it, we took our young sons to Lancaster, California. And do you know what was kept in Lancaster, California? The space shuttle, the Atlantis. And we went there so that our kids could see this big space shuttle. And so I just want to show you a little before when we saw it, when it had been retired. Mike, if you could play this little video clip for us. I want to show you a vehicle that has a power to deliver.
Go for main engine start. T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff. The final liftoff of Atlantis on the shoulders of the space shuttle. America will continue the dream.
Roger, roll, Atlantis.
Houston now controlling the flight of Atlantis. The space shuttle spreads its wings one final time for the start of a sentimental journey into history. 24 seconds into the flight, roll program complete. Atlantis now heads down, wings level on the proper alignment for its 8.5-minute ride to orbit. 4.5 million pounds of hardware and humans taking aim on the International Space Station.
Beautiful flight.
40 seconds into the flight, the three liquid fuel main engines throttling.
That's an amazing scene. Let me tell you, you want to be trusting in a power that will get you to the destination you're hoping for. As in contrast to this next flight that we're going to show you here, and this one right here. By the way, this is an unmanned flight, but this took place also. Devastation. You know, many, many people are trusting in things that have not the power, not the capability to bring them to the destination that they're hoping for. The Bible says, and again, that was an unmanned flight, so praise God for that. I told you that my examples would be weak, but this scripture says, I am. Let me just read it with some words put in here. For I am confident, I'm not ashamed, of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel, is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. So that is your part in this message. It is the power of God for everyone who does what? Who believes. And so you have the responsibility to say, God, I need you. I need to be forgiven. I need to be saved. I need to become a child of God. And all of that happens in the same moment where you humble yourself before God and you say, God, I put my faith and my trust in you. Please forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me. Make me a child of God. At that moment, the gospel that is the power of God to those who believe brings salvation into your soul. And you want the power of the gospel because you need to be delivered from this place to the Lord. This scripture. So I'm just going to kind of repeat the same things. The gospel is, and I'm going to call it, God's vehicle of salvation. The gospel is God's vehicle of salvation. There are many vehicles that man might offer you for you to put your faith into. You know, people talk about, well, if they're very benevolent, if they're charitable, people love to be charitable. Believers and unbelievers like to be charitable. It's interesting with Angel Tree, there are Christian churches that do Angel Tree, and there are organizations that do Angel Tree. And they feel like if they're benevolent and they do something that's nice for other people, meets their needs, that it kind of puts a little feather in their cap and maybe God will be happier with them. No, there's no power in benevolence. It's good, it's wonderful to be charitable, and it's wonderful to be caring, and it's wonderful to reach out, but it won't save your soul. You know, people, cultural beliefs, people stand very strongly on their different cultural backgrounds. Whether you come from a culture that has this religion or that religion or these beliefs or that belief, the truth is there's only one thing that has the power of God unto salvation, and that is putting your faith and trust in Christ. So there is benevolence and cultural belief and religious ideas. There are methods, keeping of rules or laws, being as self-righteous as you can, personal beliefs. Number four, God's way in His righteousness has always been faith in Him, in His sufficiency, His power, His ability, the plan that He unfolded for us to put our faith and trust in, which is Christ Jesus. The Bible says the just, again, shall live by faith. And that faith is in who? In Jesus, in God, in the gospel, the message that God has given to us to put our faith and trust in. The just shall live by faith. In Romans 10:13, it says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, to break down, the gospel is this: Jesus the Christ. And so it's Jesus the Christ, which is God. I used to love how Ken Poore used to say this, God in a bod, right? That's what incarnate means. So to be incarnate is to be in the flesh. And so what happened was God, who created all things, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, came into a body. The kids are going to be singing about it next week. The scriptures in Luke 2 and Luke 1 and how Jesus was born of Mary miraculously. And so the gospel is Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, was crucified, buried, risen, ascended back to heaven, is returning. He is God, our Savior. That is the gospel. So what I'd like to do for just a minute is talk about God's power versus other options. Okay? And the question is, how mighty is our God? How is His power declared? And these scriptures, I'm not going to actually go to them because it would take us an awful long time, but each of these scriptures talk about how His power is declared. In Psalm 79:11, it describes God's power as great power. Psalms 89, strong power. Exodus 15, His power is glorious. Job 9, it's mighty power. Isaiah 46, everlasting power. Romans 9, sovereign power. Isaiah 43, effectual power. Deuteronomy 32, irresistible power. Psalms 89, incomparable power. Job 5, unsearchable power. And then you can follow the verses. Power over nature, abundant power, creation power, eternal power, conceptual power. Sustaining power, salvation power, just a few ways that God's power is described in Scripture. So it says the gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. And my question to you, many of you have already decided to follow Christ, to believe the gospel, to believe in God. But what is your vehicle to save? Have you put your faith and trust in God? Is He who you're looking to be the power of God unto salvation for you? If you haven't, you need to choose to trust Him. Consider it deeply that God is the way of salvation in Christ. So, the gospel. So this is another concept I wasn't quite sure how to describe, but I just wrote it. The gospel is it a concept or a reality to trust? It's a reality to trust. If you were to think about the space shuttle, We could sit and talk about the space shuttle. We could talk about its ability. We could talk about the things that make up the space shuttle. We could talk about all of the mechanical things and hydraulic things, all the computer-assisted things. We could talk about all of the makeup of the space shuttle. But there's something about the space shuttle that allows it to be more than just a concept. It's been developed in such a way that it can literally take a person from this location to a future destination, all right? And so when we talk about the gospel, people can actually think about the gospel more in just an analytical way. Well, yeah, it's the gospel. People at church, they believe in the gospel. It's like we were describing a chair or a hat. But the gospel is the power of God that leads to salvation if you will believe. Because the gospel is God's message for us. And so it's not just a concept. It is God's way to be able to save your soul and bring you into his presence. And so when we describe the gospel, I just want to get beyond a concept to the reality and the truth in which we believe to be saved. So along this picture, you probably can't see those words, but I'm going to read them to you. The shuttle, a powerful vehicle to transport and deliver all who would step aboard, who believe and trust. Of course, we can't get on the shuttle, right? Of course, the program's ended, but you know what I mean. All right, the idea is it's going to deliver you if you believe in it and you put your faith and trust in it. One must step aboard to enjoy the reality of the destination to be reached. Do not trust in a substitute. You will never see your destination. The gospel is the vehicle that God offers for you to believe in and trust. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for everyone who believes. You know, if the space shuttle was not capable of doing its job, would they have spent so much money just developing a concept? We're just going to build a space shuttle so it can sit on the launching pad as an icon to our ability. You know, they were hoping that this thing had the power to deliver. And when you're putting your faith and trust in Christ, we know from God's perspective that the gospel has the power to deliver. And we need to be sure of that. So there's a couple of scriptures I'd like to look at. And I just want to begin with this, talking about God's power. God has been showing his power to the world from day one. Now, there's two questions, and we've talked about these in the past, but people are lost, and they need to be saved. People are alive on this planet, and they observe God at work. Unbelievers and believers, we all observe. Just take a look at this scripture in Exodus 8. And you remember, this is when Moses is standing before the Pharaoh. The magicians are there, and they're trying to mimic the miracles that God is doing through Moses. Here's what it says. Now the magicians so worked with their enchantments to bring forth lice. Yeah, it was one of the plagues. But they could not. And so there were lice on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh, his heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord said. So the evidence was there in Egypt. The magicians, who were the best of the best, said, "You see this, Pharaoh? What you're seeing is the finger of God." And Pharaoh had a choice. It's like people have a choice. When they see or hear about the plan of God, the power of God, people have a choice to do what? Believe or not. Believe or reject the truth of God. One example, The next example, in Joshua chapter 4, and again, God has been showing his power to the world from day one. Joshua 4, there's this time where God had the Israelite leaders pick up stones. You remember where they were from? They're from the middle of what river? The Jordan River, right? Here's the story. God said, "Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you should take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, well, what does this pile of stones mean, Dad? You know, what do these stones mean? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord." So somebody just describe for me, what happened? The Israelite priests stepped in the water. What happened to the waters? They stopped. They backed up. The Bible says there was a wall of water, and the priests and all the people of Israel did what? They walked through. They walked across on what? On dry ground. I'll tell you, there's two miracles there. One is the water stopping up, and the other is dry ground. Have you ever stepped in a place where the water's gone, but the water's been on top of mud, and there's mud that's inches deep, and you get it all over your shoes? Well, these people, not only was the water stopped, but they went across on dry ground. And they said, take them in, and I want them to pick up a stone, and I want them to place it in a pile. And when your children ask, what is this pile of stones? It's a sign so that we'll remember what? What God has done. All right? Let's get this next example. It's on the same page. Very good. So God has been showing his power to the world from day one. This one, there's one little line in here that really touches my heart. But this is the time where the people of Israel were coming into the land, and they were going to take over the area around the city of Jericho. Okay? And here's what it says. The people of Jericho, Joshua 2:8. Now, therefore, they laid down. So the spies had gone in, and Rahab, the harlot, had said, I'll hide you here in my house. So the spies from Israel had come into the city of Jericho. Let's read this. Now, before they laid down, she came up to them on the roof and said to them, listen to what she said. I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us. Listen to the testimony of God that was rippling around in the city of Jericho. What did she just say? We know and we feel terror because Israel is coming upon Jericho. She said to them, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. See, people have asked me, and people have been quite critical about this Old Testament story. How in the world could God have judged Jericho so harshly? What the scripture says is the testimony of God had gone before. The people knew that God was God. The people knew that he could come in and take over the land. It says the people in the land had become faint-hearted because of you. Verse 10, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. My question is, what have you heard about God? I actually think this is a wonderful way to get into a discussion with anybody. You're at work, and you just say, what have you heard about God? And just let them talk. I'll bet that they have heard about God in some way. They've heard it from a Sunday school story or a kid on the playground who told them a story or it could be from anywhere. Just say to them, what have you heard about God? and just let them talk for a minute. The hard part of this is they're accountable. People have what? They've heard about God. And what are they choosing to do? They're either choosing to believe or not believe. You know, Rahab was not so special. But she heard and she responded. And she put her faith and trust in the God of Israel, the God who would unfold this gospel story, the redemption story. And she said to them, I believe in your God, the God of Israel. And she said, you know, would you please not destroy me with the rest? And then there was a deal that was made. And the spy said, look, if you will just gather your family and bring them in your house, and anyone who would believe. They had quite a crowd in there, I think. In fact, I've kind of wondered who the descendants of Rahab's family are today that were saved because they believed. We have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea when you came out of Egypt. And again, we might just ask the question, what have you heard and how do you respond? So my question to you is, what have you heard? And how do you respond? Not only in believing in Jesus, but how does that change, knowing the power of God, how does that change how you live every day? The power of God saves and strengthens believers. I'd like you to see these three New Testament passages. So in him, and I took out some words just to make it a little more brief, but in him you were buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses, he has made us alive. Praise God. He has made us alive together with him, having forgiven you all of your trespasses. That is describing people who have put their faith and trust in Jesus. They heard and they've responded to him. 1 Corinthians 1, for the message of the cross, which is the gospel, is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You want the power of God. We want to know it. We want to learn about it. We want to live in it. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, all above that we could ask or think. This is a prayer that Paul is praying, and he's saying to him who can do all these things. And the last part, according to the power that works in what? Us. And then this last passage in Peter, 2 Peter 1, his divine power, and you've seen this scripture, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, because we've escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. So his divine power has given us all things that we need for life and godliness. We're going to just wrap up the message. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. And so on that last slide, the power of God saves and strengthens believers. And so the verse that we talked about was, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for whoever believes, for the Jew first and then for the Greek. And then it says, it is the righteousness of God. Along with that, God in his power lives in us and through us and gives us everything that we need for life and godliness. Willie June and I were talking about all of these concepts, and this song Willie June remembered this song, and I thought, what a neat song for us to kind of finish the service on. And it's called Same Power. Same Power. So I realize worship team is not going to have to come up because we're going to sing it. But let's stand. It's kind of our closing song. Yes.
I can see the waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same
good song. So there are two things here. One is that the power of God in the gospel of Christ is the power of God, and that power of God lives in us for to live and walk with him so that we can please him with our lives and we can share him with others. So we're going to stay here, a few of us. If someone wants to pray, please feel free to come on up. Otherwise, God bless you. And 1:30 at the Fitzpatrick's home, we'll be there for Josh's baptism. Yes. What are we doing? And move the piano. Yes, that's a fun thing. God bless you. Thanks for being here.